And good morning again to all you folks in 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel in Vancouver and also on Zoom. Let me see how many we got on Zoom this morning. Oh, 35 or so. And there's quite a few at the chapel. So great to have everybody here. Now, if you've been with me for the last few sessions that I've had the opportunity to preach, you know that we've been preaching from 1 Thessalonians. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, while you're turning there, let me remind you that the Apostle Paul and a team of servants of the Most High God visited Thessalonica in the area of Macedonia and was there less than a month, three Sabbath days. Preaching Christ. Some believed, some didn't. The ones that didn't caused a big ruckus. Paul and the team had to be ushered out under the cover of darkness. They went on to other communities, ended up in Athens. Eventually, they would go to Corinth, from which Paul would probably write this letter. And Paul's concerned. I mean, they're just there a short period of time. And how much can you teach? How much can you disciple? How much can you train brand new Christians? And so after receiving a good report from sending Timothy back to Thessalonica, Timothy returns, tells Paul what's going on. Paul writes the letter, we got a copy. And that's what we've been working through. Now, we've worked through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and the first part of chapter 4, and we're going to take the last part of chapter 4 for our study today. Let me remind you that it is one thing to hear the word of God. It is another thing to do it. Faith comes by hearing, of course. But then James would remind us in his book called the Book of James, he would remind us that just don't be just hearers only. It does you no good. You deceive yourself if you think just hearing something is of great value. It's a beginning. You've got to hear it. But then James said, let us be doers, not just hearers. So many of you have heard the gospel. The gospel goes like this. Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended into heaven. Are you listening? And that same Jesus, the one who ascended into heaven, is coming again. Just like he went away, he is coming back. And in the last part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul now addresses his coming back again. Now, we suspect that there's some confusion. We suspect that there is delusion as well. We suspect that some are fearful. Time has passed. Paul no doubt told him Jesus was going to come back. Maybe some of their people already died. They're wondering what's going on? Why didn't Jesus come back? And how is all this working? So in the latter part of chapter 4, Paul is going to address that issue. Now, before we get there, just so that we can read through this book verse by verse, I want to take chapter 4 and beginning in verse 9. So you watch your Bibles, verse 9. And before I read the rest of that chapter, let me remind you that this chapter is dealing with water. Okay. He tells them to walk in holiness in this chapter. Please God, obey God. Okay. Verses 9 and 10, he tells them to walk in harmony, brotherly love. And verses 11 and 12, he tells them to walk honestly. We'll make some comment about this in a moment. And in verses 13 to 18, he tells them to walk in hope. And that's kind of where we're going. Watch your Bibles, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God, notice that, to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, as we have commanded you, and that you walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray just for a moment. Father, what a encouraging and enlightening text before us today. And we pray for all who might be fearful. We pray for all who might be doubtful. We pray for any who may have no hope, just in themselves or in their church or in their religion, but not in Christ. We pray, Lord, for all who are walking with you, walking in the light, doing the work, not just hearing only. And so, Father, please take your word, apply it to our hearts by the power of your Spirit for the glory of God, for the benefit of sinners, and for the building up of the saints. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, walk in harmony. He says, You know how to love. God's already taught you how to love. Isn't that neat? God puts in the hearts of his people his own heart. His own heart is love. We know the Bible talks about the love of God. It talks about God loving us first so that we can in turn love him. We would know how to love. but it's sacrificial loving. It's not just saying that we love him. It's actually doing it. It's about loving one another, not just walking in holiness, knowing how to possess your vessel, separating yourself, no moral sins, everything for the glory of God, but walk in harmony with one another. Brotherly love is what he's talking about. And he says, God taught you to do this. You know what my problem is, and I think maybe your problem is? Our lives are so busy, we don't know how to be quiet. We don't know how to sit down and just soak in the love of God. We don't know how to be quiet and just read the Word of God. Everything has to be right now. What do I do next? And how do I get there? And how fast can I get there? And what can I do when I get there? And listen, God teaches us sometimes in that quiet moment, that time of reflection, that time when it's just you and him, and that still voice of God echoing through the Word of God into my heart, teaching me. And he says, God teaches you how to love one another. If you say, well, I don't know how to do that, say, Lord, would you teach me again? Would you teach me to read the Word of God? And as I look at the Lord Jesus Christ and I see how he loved people, teach me how to do that. That's what he's talking about, walking in harmony. And then he talks about walking in honesty. Notice again in verse 12. First of all, I like verse 11. Let me just comment on that. That you aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business. You ever hear that? I remember in school, someone says, that's not your business. I go, oh, all right. Maybe you've been told that before. Maybe you ask a question. Someone said, that's none of your business. You know, okay. But we are instructed in scripture that we do have a business, and it's my business, and it's my responsibility, and I'm to do that. I'm to lead a quiet life. I'm to mind my own business, not somebody else's business. I'm to work with my own hands, and that we've been commanded to do that. I mean, the scriptures are clear. If you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an unbeliever, an infidel, an agnostic, an atheist, someone who says, I don't care and I don't want to care and I don't know and I don't want to know. And so we're to work with our own hands. This is what God tells us to do. Notice in verse 12 that you might walk properly toward those who are outside. Who are the ones on the outside? Friend, he's not talking about you work in your house, and then he's talking about people outside your house. He's not talking about that. You see, those who are not in Christ are on the outside. That is here, the outside, those on the outside refers to those who never trusted Christ. They're not in the family of God. They're not part of the body of Christ yet. And so the admonition here, the command, is walk honestly, walk properly toward them. You're the only Bible some people ever read. Your vocabulary is the only biblical vocabulary that some people are going to ever listen to. Your expressions, your actions, and your reactions are the only Jesus that some people are going to ever see. What a responsibility! What a need for those around us to see the truth, not see bias, prejudice, self-righteous, better than you attitude at all. But walk properly, walk honestly toward those that are without or those on the outside. and that you might lack nothing. Do you know that loving one another, that is our first responsibilities to the body of Christ, but we're also to walk honestly toward those that are without. We're to have that. That's your testimony. How do people in your neighborhood, your community, your apartment complex, your school, your job, your workplace, what do they think about you? What would they say about you to your back? Or maybe to your face? That's your testimony. Now, he moves along from walking in harmony with the believers, walking in honesty or properly toward the unsaved, to walking in hope. This is where I want to spend the rest of our time today. Walking in hope. Now, there are three main references in the scriptures that talk about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to receive his own to himself. Now, we got to go quickly. Okay, I'm going now to John chapter 14, please. And to my recollection, this will be the first clear mention in scripture. I say clear because I believe it is mentioned in John chapter 11 when he says that he's the resurrection and the life. He that believes in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And those that live and believe in him shall never die. I think that it's not as clear as it is here, but it talks about the return of the Lord Jesus. And let me just read it for you. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. John 14, verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, here it is, come again and receive you, notice, to myself. And that where I am, there you may be also. This, I believe, is the first reference, clear reference that Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm coming again. Now, many times in the New Testament, he referred to his death and his burial and his resurrection. But here is a reference that he is going away. He's going back to heaven. Remember, he's still on earth. Remember, this is before the cross. All this lies before him. And he says that he is going away. He's going to prepare and he's coming again. And notice, he's going to receive us to himself. You know, as a gospel preacher for years, you know what I do? I tell people to receive Christ. You need to know you're the sinner. You need to understand Jesus is the only Savior, and you need to accept him. You need to receive him. You need to open the door of your heart and the Lord Jesus come into your life, and you accept him, not your church, not your religion, not your good works, but accept, receive Christ into your heart. He'll come in. He said, if anyone opens the door, I'll come in. So you just need to open that door by admitting you're the sinner and admitting that he's the Savior and trust him to be your own personal Savior. Now, why do I teach that for years and years and years? So you can be saved. So you can be born again. So you can have your sins forgiven. So he can be in the family of God. So that when you die or when Jesus comes, listen, you can be with him. He said to the thief on the cross, today shall you be with me in paradise. You see, paradise is Christ. Heaven is Christ. There'd be no paradise if it wasn't him. There'd be no heaven. You wouldn't even want to go to heaven if Jesus wasn't there. So he says, I'm going away, I'm going to prepare, I'm coming again, listen, and those who have received me, now I'm going to receive them. And then let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Again, another reference to the coming of the Lord and how or what is going to happen when he does this. Notice I'm going to read in quickly now in verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Now, this is not mysterious in a sense. It is something that has never been unveiled before. No teaching up until this time has any prophet or any teacher of God's word revealed what Paul is about to reveal. I'm showing you a mystery. I'm showing you something. Nobody's ever pulled the sheet off of it. No one has ever seen this truth before. This is brand new, and I'm going to give it to you. I tell you a mystery. What is it? We're not going to all sleep. Oh, me. My mom and dad used to sleep on Sunday afternoon, and as a kid, I think, my goodness, why would you? Not talking about lay down on Sunday afternoon sleep. Sleep here has a reference to, are you with me, physical death. Jesus said to the disciples, "My friend Lazarus sleeps." And they said, "Oh, well, that's great. He's sick. If he sleeps, that'll really help him." He said, "No, you don't get it. He's dead." So for the believer, the child of God, listen to me, physical death is often referred to as sleep. Now, this is not soul sleep. No, the soul doesn't sleep. The spirit doesn't sleep, but the body sleeps. Paul would say, absent from the body. Where'd the body go? Well, the body wants to sleep. It's over there in the graveyard, okay? But the soul and the spirit now depart and are with Christ. Okay, so he says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. Nobody's ever given you this before, but I'm going to give it to you. We shall not all physically die. What? I mean, up until now, the only way to get to heaven is die. I mean, you can't go to heaven any other way. This is not the norm. This is not the teaching. Paul says, well, things are about to change. We're not going to all die, but we're going to all be changed. In a moment, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye, all this has reference to the incredible short period of time in which it's going to happen. The moment, the twinkling of the eye, the last trump. The trump will sound, notice, the dead will be raised incorruptible. Notice the order. And we, that is the living, we shall be changed. What does that mean? That means you can't go to heaven like you are. That's what that means. That means that there's a new truth. One day when Jesus comes to receive us to himself, some people will have already died. Oh, okay. Well, what happens to them? Well, their soul and spirit are with the Lord. Their body is sleeping in the cemetery, or they've been cremated, or in Jonah's case, if the fish didn't throw him out, they're in the fish's stomach. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they are. But those who have died are going to come forth, and he said the corruptible is going to put on incorruption. In other words, those who have died are going to be raised, not like the seed that was planted was earthly. Now it's going to be a glorious seed that comes forth. They're going to come forth in a beautiful, glorified, resurrected body, just like the body of the Lord Jesus in many ways. They're not going to be Jesus, but they're going to be a beautiful, glorified, resurrected body, incorruptible body. And then he says, those of us that are still alive when that happens, we're going to be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, is we're not going to be buried. The body's not going to decay. We're just going to be changed. The mortal is going to put on immortality, and we're going to be with the Lord. Now, many things could be said. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians now, our text. Reading in again in chapter 4 and verse 13. Evidently, there's some concern. Paul likes to clarify. He'd like to explain. He'd like to say, listen, I don't want you hopeless. I want to explain this to you. Verse 13, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, I want you to know things, not be in the dark, not doubt. Aren't you glad that the Lord has given us, eternal security? Listen to this. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know. Oh, wonderful. So that you're not ignorant, so that you might know that you have eternal life. God is so good. Paul now writes to these believers, young believers, fearful. They don't know what's going on. Some have died, and what happened to them? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be in the dark, brethren, concerning those, look at it in verse 13, who have fallen asleep. Oh, that sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, those who've died, the ones who trusted Jesus, but they've already physically died. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those. I want you to know what happens to these people, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Oh, so you mean we have hope even if someone that our loved one who knows the Lord dies, there is hope. Yes, notice how he says it, verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep. Isn't that interesting? In Jesus. More accurately, could I just give you this? It's so heartwarming. Listen to this. Let me translate that just a little different. God will bring with him those that Jesus has put to sleep. Oh, those who've been put to sleep by Jesus. Oh, dear friend, have you ever seen a mother taking a child that just can't settle and rocking them and singing to them, comforting them? And the next thing you know, that child settles down and sleeps. Oh, dear friend, that's any that have been put to sleep by Jesus, that's how they got to sleep. You say, well, I don't know the details, but I'm telling you, they're never alone. They're never forsaken. And in that moment of time, whether it's in pain or whether it's in peace, they have been put to sleep by the Lord Jesus. God will bring with them those who sleep, put to sleep by Jesus. Verse 15, for I say to you by the word of the Lord. This is fresh. This is what we call inspiration. This is what Jesus told Paul to say by the word of the Lord. Notice verse 15, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Now, he uses the word sleep at the end of verse 14. He uses the word sleep at the end of verse 15. Look at the end of verse 16, and the dead in Christ. See the connection? Those who've trusted the Lord and they've died, the dead in Christ. So he says now, those who've dead in Christ, they will by no means precede those who are asleep. Sorry, those alive in Christ will not, uh, will by no means precede those who sleep. For the Lord will descend, verse 16, the shout, the voice of the archangel, trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Watch the order. Then we who are alive and remain, that says here, caught up. That's where we get our word rapture. You say, the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. Yes, it does, right there. It's called caught up. It's called snatched away. It's called raptured. Call it what you want to. It's there. This is the truth. They'll be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, wherefore they'll ever be with the Lord. This is what Jesus referred to in John 11. I'm the resurrection and the life, he said. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they live. Those who believe in me and live will never die. You say, you mean that some people not going to die? Exactly. Not physical death. This is what Paul was talking about when he said that the mortal will put on immortality. They're not going to die. They're just going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. But notice the order. Those who've died in Christ, the person who's trusted Christ and has died physically, the body sleeps now in the grave. Well, when Jesus comes, guess who goes first? I'm telling you, the Lord is so kind, so gracious. That loved one that you saw in pain and agony, pining away, or you saw in a car accident, or had a heart attack, and the last time you saw him, you saw a dead body. You never see him like that again. No, never again. They are going first. Now, all this is going to be pretty fast, so you're going to have to, you know, like pay attention. Okay. They're going first. And when they come out of the grave, the corruptibles putting on incorruption, my understanding is that they're going to meet the soul and the spirit, and they're going to be clothed with a new, glorified, resurrected body. Then we which are alive and remain, then we're going to go. Now, it's all fast, I know, but we're going to go. And guess what? They will have already been changed and have a body suited and fit for glory. So don't sorrow like others that don't have a hope. Oh, listen, Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. I understand that. Death is the last enemy. Death is awful. Sin is terrible. But the Lord Jesus has conquered sin and death and hell and the grave. We have hope. Don't sorrow like those that don't have any hope. And when the Lord comes, this is the order. Now, the last thing he said, and the last thing I'm going to say in this message is, wherefore, comfort one another. You got that? Comfort one another. Don't be ignorant. This is the way it is. It's not what some preacher said. Lynn, I just read the book. I didn't write it. This is God's word. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? Well, the instructions that he's just given us. Oh, dear friend, the best is yet to come. And you are going to be pleasantly surprised when you see your loved one, your friend, your mother, your brother, whoever it is, and they've gone on to be with Jesus. They're going to get a little head start on you, but then you're going to meet them in the air, and you're going to ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort, console, encourage, help, minister to one another because of these truths. Dear friend, if you're listening to me this morning and you never trusted the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, you're not going. You're going to be left behind. You're not going. Okay. Now you need to think about that seriously. And maybe you need to trust Christ as your Savior today. Let's pray. Father, it's our absolute privilege and responsibility. Yea, how happy I am as a minister of the Word of God to express these truths this morning. Wow. We certainly don't have some dead idol, some false religion, some hero buried in a tomb somewhere. We have a living Savior who himself said, I'm coming back. I am coming again, and I'm going to receive you. And Father, thank you for giving it so clear in the scriptures. Bless all who know you and remind them of all of their friends and family who passed on to glory with the Lord, but their bodies were asleep. And we look forward to that day when the dead will hear the voice, the archangel, the trumpet, the voice of the Almighty God say, come up here with me. Oh, Lord, thank you for these verses. In Jesus' name, amen.